Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money. Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, well, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open
90%.
Southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys, the place where money meets politics, and trying to do a weekly podcast. And we're laughing because I was prepping this, and I started out with letting everybody know here who we were, Mike and Glenn, but they actually already know that. So Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, place where money meets politics. Going to have a lot of fun with today's show, as we always do. Although, I got to be honest with you, Glenn, it's really difficult to have fun right now. I mean, I am really worried about the United States of America and the direction we are going. When we are not supporting police officers, massive amounts of debt, it just seems like socialism is becoming more and more acceptable. And I got to be honest with you, I'm really, really nervous about the people who are conservatives who are falling into this trap, this COVID trap still. I can't tell you how many business owners I see walking around with masks on and they're behind their business by themselves. Like, what are you doing, right? And they say, well, yeah, I was told to wear these masks. Well, you were told to wear these masks, but are you wearing the mask because you think it's going to be safer for you? If you are, God bless you, right? That's your right to do so. But if you're wearing the mask because you were told to wear the mask, then maybe we should reconsider this. Yeah, then you're sheep.
Well, then you're sheep. So the thing is, and I think I'm really realizing this more so than ever before, and you know who said this was Michael Caputo, because I think he really understands communications and the power of propaganda. I remember talking to him about a year and a half ago, and we were talking about, you know, Trump's reelection, and he said, it's going to be a tough year. And he said, nah, it's going to be, he should walk in. I mean, look at his accomplishments, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's passed prison reform, and he's got, you know, crazy low unemployment and the economy. And lowest, you know, breaking records in the Hispanic and the African-American community.
Fighting China, which is what a lot of Democrats wanted originally before he got into
office. But I remember Michael Caputo saying, guys, if you remember the power of the media and the fact that you will see a daily onslaught and it's pure propaganda. And I'm seeing these articles out there that are so far of a stretch that I just read the headlines and I think you can't be serious, right?
No, right.
And one in particular was written by the AP and then retrumpeted by Yahoo News. And it was, you know, records show that the arrest records show that this is not Antifa as the president asserts. Really? Because they just arrested three more folks that were Antifa in Dallas.
It's white Trump supporters. That's who it is, right?
And so you read this article. Exactly. And so you read this article, Mike, and you go through it and you think, and the whole thing, I say, well, the article starts out as priceless, right? You know, Ricky was just coming home from a gig on a scooter from a
he was a balloon
making balloned animals at a birthday
No, I got to correct you. He was a balloon artiste.
Artiste.
Yes.
I'm sure little Billy just in the wrong place at the wrong time, right?
I mean,
he was just coming home from a gig on his scooter, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't have been doing anything wrong. And then they go through this article with a litany
How is a balloon artist an essential employee, right?
Right, exactly. Well, that's the best part, right? So online, the battle in the Facebook spheres and the Twitter spheres is, you know, this is conservative, right-wing, you know, white supremacist, right?
How crazy.
Meanwhile, they're arresting law students and balloon artists. Now,
and CNN anchors.
I don't know.
And CNN anchors.
And CNN anchors, right? So, you know, they arrested, you know, two attorneys in New York City. They arrested two people that came out of the Catskills, two young girls in their 20s, right?
Yep.
You know, these are not, a right-wing white supremacist. These are this clearly fits the MO of, I live at home with mom, I'm driving a scooter. This guy was 40 years old. What are you doing riding a scooter?
Well, that's
let's
right.
be honest.
Or being a balloon artist. No offense. If you're going to do that for fun,
19,
that's really cool. Balloon artist is a really cool thing to learn, but it's not a full-time gig. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless you're really good at it, I guess. I mean, if you're really, really good at it, then you might be able to make 30 grand a year, I guess, yeah. right? You might yeah. be able to live in a one-bedroom apartment and eat McDonald's, you know, twice a week. But I don't know.
Well, CNN it's and the power of the media. Power yeah. of the media. Think about how corrupt the media is with CNN not even mentioning David Dorn, right? The retired St. Louis police captain that was killed by looters. Not once did they mention this guy. And, you know, how could that possibly be, right? So you're going to mention George Floyd, who they're making him out to be this little angel who he didn't deserve to die. That the police officer, and don't send me messages that what he did was wrong. I know what he did was wrong, right? But he also had cocaine and fentanyl in his system and all this other stuff, right? So now you look at a CNN, or you look at a David Dorn, who's a retired police captain, right? A retired police captain. This is a guy who literally did all kinds of stuff for his community, right? Teaching little kids on how to get involved and maybe how to be a police officer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, really giving back to his community. And CNN, it didn't fit the racist left-wing message, so we can't even bring it up. Shame on them. But yet their supporters listen to it, watch it, and go, okay, well, they must be protesting. And now COVID apparently doesn't spread through CNN. Did you see the health officials the other day going,
what a joke.
Oh, I mean, but first of all, anybody who's, quote, a health expert, I'm just never believing again. Never believing again. Well, everything we have called out on COVID has been right. And mark my words, folks, it's going to take time to do the real research, but somebody's going to get to the bottom of it. And we're going to find out that 80%, and this is my prediction, 80% of the COVID deaths were not really COVID. 80%. That's my prediction. We already know that they have police, or they have a car crash.
Yeah, gunshot victims.
Gunshots, right. We were talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking to folks in an Amish community. And they had lost some people from heart attacks. And one lady unfortunately passed away giving birth. She bled to death. Both of them were marked as COVID deaths. And the Amish community was furious. They're like, how could you do that, right? My guess is 80%. We will find out, and I said this weeks ago, that this will go down as being less deadly than the normal flu. And the reason I said that is because the government is always, always, always wrong in their predictions and their models. You can
the universities definitely are. You can guarantee that.
Yeah. Going hurricanes, back to Captain tornadoes, Dorn for a all second, wrong. Though.
Yeah, going back to Mr. Dorn, or sadly Captain Dorn. Yeah, I mean, you know, apparently his black life didn't matter, right?
No.
Of all the black folks that have been killed during the rioting, you know, their scores. Yeah. A poor woman. You know, I pinned to our Twitter feed a GoFundMe page for this poor lady. I mean, she lost everything, right? She's a black business owner, female, obviously, in Minneapolis. You know, she's just, you know, just trying to clean stuff up, trying to get back on her feet, you know, saying, what's going on? I mean, this is ridiculous, right? So you've got, again, you're burning down, you know, minority-owned businesses others, right? I mean, this is outrageous. But not a word, though, when it comes to, I don't know, the 85 people shot in New York City last weekend. I mean,
that's right.
The sad thing about this whole thing is that now you've got, first of all, you know, you're losing the complete message of really how to fix this, right? They have a golden opportunity. They've got the world watching right now. Yep. And what they demand is to dismantle the police department. I mean,
Minneapolis City Council might make de Blasio look a little smart. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you could ask for better police training.
Yeah,
you
funding could ask more for education.
The amazing part about it is that the part of the problem with the Minneapolis Police Department and police departments like Minneapolis, to be honest, is the left-wing policies of unions.
That's right.
Unions protect the worst employees on the job.
Yep.
That's what they do, unfortunately, right? And they don't give the opportunity for the best, right? This guy, this Derek Chauvin, was a bad cop. He had 17 complaints. Nobody disputes that. Why in the world was he still on the job, number one?
There?
But even worse, why was he training other officers, right? We learned that one of the officers that was with him, Mike, was third or fourth day on the job. And he said, shouldn't we turn him over? No, he's fine, right? This guy's been charged now. He's going to get off, right? He'll get off because, you know, he asked his superior. His superior said, no, he's fine. You're not going to fight your superior. You don't do that, right? But why in the world was this Derek Chauvin, with 17 complaints, put in a position to teach and mentor other new officers? Mm. That seems wrong to me, right?
Well, no doubt.
But that's the police union, sadly, right?
Unions,
there's some good unions. Public sector unions are not good. I know that police officers love their union and they do good things in some cases. This is not one of those cases, unfortunately. And as a result, they protect. Look, this Derek Chauvin, he's got a shot at not getting, you want to see riots. If he gets off, and he's not a slam dunk. I mean,
no, I agree.
Remember, the union will give him and buy him the best defense that money can buy.
Yes.
They've got the money to buy the best defense, and they will provide it to him. That's the benefit of being in a union. If he gets off, and he may, because like you said before, Mike, you have fentanyl, you have other drugs in the guy's system.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make the killing right.
No, however, but it takes a little bit of doubt.
You got a reasonable doubt.
That's right. Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I will go down to continue to say, give me any police department across the country. I would bet that the bad apples are very few and far between.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's 99.
As a percentage basis, you and I have literally run a bunch of different companies, and we always talk about the cancer that you've got to be careful of, right? There's always, you know, I call them grease balls out there, people that are looking to steal from
Bernie Madoff.
They're looking to, just in any business in general, right? They're coming in, they're looking to cause trouble, they're negative, right? You're always going to have a percentage of bad apples in whatever you do. But most of the police officers, and every single police officer that I know, they didn't go into it for a job. They went into it as a career, right? They said they had a passion to really help and be part of this, you know, it's just being an officer. I mean, they were proud to be an officer. And I got to be honest with you, you know, what happened in the city of Buffalo, by the way, with this guy pushing, you know, was it appropriate to push this guy? I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm torn by it, but I will say this.
That's why you and I are not officers.
Yeah, but
because we don't have near the self-restraint that most of them do, right?
But I would say this, right? First of all, they're riot police, so they're not there to be the normal police, right? And even the mayor, Byron Brown of City of Buffalo, has said, look at, because people keep saying, Rachel Maddow the other night was trying to get Byron to say, I can't believe those police officers didn't stop and help this guy. And Byron, to his credit, said that's not their job. There's medical people behind here, paramedics behind this, right? Their job is to go forward. I will say this, though. I don't care how old the guy is or young the guy is. There is people doing radical things, throwing bricks at police officers, throwing firecrackers and M80s, and shooting police officers, right? So if I'm a police officer, I want to go home and see my kids at the end of the day. And if somebody is going to come up, and he did look like he was trying to maybe grab that police officer, right? All as it takes is one nut job, and don't tell me there's not nut jobs in that crowd.
All it takes is
one nut job to grab my gun and shoot me, and I'm not going home to my kids. So you know what?
Yeah.
If he's going to approach me, and he's got the right to peacefully assemble, he does not have the right to go out and instigate, which this guy had a record of doing, and come after me. I got the police officers back here. You know what? Maybe you shouldn't have pushed them, but guess what? You got kids at home. You're going home. This guy wants to cause trouble. He wants to instigate. That's what he wanted. So Rachel she wanted the mayor to go ridiculous. Those police officers should not be suspended, in my opinion. Maybe we talk about, okay, can we do some
Being charged, even worse.
Yeah,
it's being charged. It's
ridiculous.
It's charged with felony assault is what they're being charged with. And that's a bit over the line, right? If you want to reprimand them, write them up, whatever, right?
Way over the line.
But again, I saw the video. We all saw the video. The guy here's the thing with the police, and I think this is where they really need a PR company, is that the world is watching, right? It's the same thing in the finance. I mentioned Bernie Madoff, because when people think finances, right, they think financial advisors, a lot of people say, oh, you're not a Bernie Madoff, are you? It's that stigmatism from somebody like that, the Derek Chauvin, that makes every other person look bad, right? I mean, the Bernie Madoffs that just taint the whole industry. But we have to fight the urge to paint the whole lot with that same brush. Yeah. Unfortunately, when it comes to the media, and I said this earlier, the propaganda of the media, they will get you to believe that, and they're saying it right now.
Yeah.
There's a systemic problem. No, there's not. Look, there's a problem here and there. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but you can't possibly claim that it's systemic because the numbers don't back that up, right?
No way.
The numbers just don't say that at all. But now you have a golden opportunity to talk about, let's talk about how and the things that you folks want. Okay, we want more representation. Fine. We want better police training. Fine. How about this for some solutions, in all seriousness? How about giving the officers better training when it comes to, you know, chokeholds and things like that? Give them grappling training, like what's the fighting thing? The mixed martial arts training. You know, give them, but seriously, give them, you know, weaponless training, like open hand training, whatever they call it. so that they're more confident in the way that they handle people, so they don't have to use deadly force.
Part of that,
they don't put a knee on somebody's neck or whatever.
I agree with part. I agree with all of that. However, I will say this: if you are in a protest and you are going to go up and instigate,
well, that's different. I'm not talking about that.
Which is what this guy did, right? And I got to be honest: if I'm in riot gear, I'm doing a job, but I want to go home and see my kids. And we are in an environment right now where we're asking police officers, hey, here's what we want you to do. You're going to go see this crowd of 2,000 people. Some of them are going to throw bricks at your head. Right. Some of them are going to throw M80s at you.
Yeah.
And
or
by the way,
if one of them
seemed like they might aggressively approach you, you're not allowed to do anything. You just sit there and take the ass beating. That's bullshit, man. I'm so sorry. But this guy, he deserved to get pushed over. And I'm just going to call it like it is. If you're going to go up and instigate a police officer in the middle of what's been going on, then guess what? We're going to I'm going to have that police officer's back, and I'm going to say, you know what? Could we have handled it differently? I don't know. I mean, my guess is this guy's waiting for a brick to come. This guy's waiting for a brick to come and knock him across the head, right? The last thing he needs to deal with is his shithead going up and trying to agitate him, right?
So in this case, the officer is in the right.
George Floyd.
The officer this case shouldn't have gotten written up. Yeah, the George Floyd instance is a whole other story.
Totally different.
So what I'm
talking
about, you know, the having more grappling training and things like that.
I agree.
So that
you
don't have to sit there with your knee on somebody's neck. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
That was uncalled for, especially if the guy was already handcuffed. But
absolutely.
Yeah, but but I guess my point, though, is more importantly, I don't want to lose this at this point, is that there's you could make reasonable demands, right?
Yes.
Dismantling the police force is not one of those reasonable things, because sadly, many, 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 shame on you on this city council for even acknowledging that this is a possibility. Shame on you even more for saying, well, we just don't think that the police is really helping our community, so we're going to dismantle them.
Unreal.
Are you insane? Yeah. You know how many people are going to die because of that policy if they truly do follow through with it, which I don't know that they will, but if they do, you're talking about putting the lives of thousands of people at risk.
You should do that.
Not to mention just from the facts that police officers, knowing that they're gone, the criminal element will be free to sell drugs, to rob, murder, and kidnap, to do whatever
they
want to
do. Can you imagine the mess that that's going to create?
Can
you imagine the mess that that's going
to
create?
We can't go back to the Wild West. Nobody wants to go back to that.
Let's play the interview. Let's play the interview from a Minneapolis City Council member, which he vows to dismantle the police department. Let's listen.
Which gives us legal mechanisms in the very short term. You know, there's lessons from all over the country, all over the world that we're looking to take immediate steps while we work toward building the systems that we would need to imagine that future.
Do you understand that the word dismantle or police free also makes some people nervous? For instance, what if in the middle of the night my home is broken into? Who do I call?
Yes, I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors, and I know, and myself too, and I know that that comes from a place of privilege, because for those of us for whom the system is working,
do-good criminals,
I think we need to step
back
and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality, where calling the police may mean more harm is done.
The policies that they promote would absolutely just be disastrous. So you're telling me that if I call... it's white privilege.
9/11.
Call 9/11, right?
They go, are you black or white? Are you black or white?
Let me explain to them. Let me explain to this left-wing liberal, though, this nut job, what happens, okay? The wealthy people hire armed security.
That's right.
Right? They hire people to protect their neighborhoods and their families.
They'll be safer than ever. They will be safer than ever. Safer than ever.
Unfortunately, the folks that are on the lower socioeconomic scale that can't possibly afford even a firearm to protect me are the ones that have to live in that cesspool of crime and filth.
You'll be living on the streets. You'll be living on the
streets. They think they're so smart, though. They think they're so woke. Like, I'm going to... You know, it's white privilege if you call. No, it's not. Come on. You don't think that people in minority communities don't want to call the cops and have them show up when they need them? Of course that they do.
Of course they do. What about that, though? I mean, I can't imagine not having a police department, especially in these communities. As you said, Glenn, if in my town they took out our police department, we would get together and hire our own staff, right? And they would be even more funded. They would be well-funded. They would have all the things that they need, all the supplies they need. We would be safe.
Of course. Let me say this, though. You're painting a brush saying, when it comes to, the black folk, what she said basically was, Black folks don't feel comfortable calling the police.
Aren't a lot of the police officers black? Aren't a lot of the police officers black?
But that's like saying, look at the majority of black folks are not criminals, right?
No.
Most of them have no problem calling the police when they need them, when there's a criminal element kicking in their door. In fact, I would guess that 99.99% of them would probably want to pick up the phone and call 911. I would highly doubt that anybody, I don't care what color you are or what sex you are, religion you are, nobody's going to sit there and go, let's see, he's kicking in my door right now. But if I call the cops, are they going to come and arrest me? No, you pick up the phone and say, oh, my God, help me. They're kicking my door in.
By
the way, you don't care which color cop shows up, right?
No.
Whether they're Asian or Italian or who cares? Just get here to help me.
117 Happy Street. Get here. Yep. Absolutely.
Just get here. Protect me from this criminal.
I actually like to see. Look at Defund the police department. Let's see how that works out for you. Let's just do a study for a year and see how defunding the police department in Minneapolis works. I would tell you one thing. Your tourism is going to go to zero within minutes. seconds.
If you're a business owner right now in Minneapolis, I mean, what are you doing right now?
Scared to death.
Basically, are you selling liquidating your inventory? I mean, what are you doing if you're, if you own that? That poor woman who's cleaned out her place until 2 o'clock in the morning was still trying to rebuild her business. Hoping to God it doesn't get her windows kicked in again by a bunch of looters, sadly.
It's over. You start to do that kind of stuff. The problem is you can't even sell.
You know, these leftists, they put these policies out there. You think this girl on the city council actually lives anywhere near a ghetto? I don't think so. Probably not. So she's going to propose these policies that would absolutely devastate these communities that she's so, smart that she thinks she's helping. And one last thing I'd like to say. You know, I'm so sick and tired of the LeBron James and the Colin Kaepernick and all these folks talking about we got to change things. And the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, coming out this week saying, yes, we're going to come out, we're going to change things, and we're going to make it right. And I wasn't listening last year and blah, blah, blah. Let me ask you a question. Where do you think these people live? Do you think that Colin Kaepernick lives in Compton?
Or does
he live in a really wealthy part of L.A.? Yeah.
Does he have his own security? I bet you he does. Right.
But do you think these folks could go back to those communities, though? Why don't you go back to those communities, open a business, reinvest in those communities.
Yeah, give them jobs.
Actually put your money where your mouth is, right?
Yep.
Because guess what? You got out of that ghetto as soon as you could as well, right?
Yep.
So don't stand up there from your mansion, behind your gates, behind your armed security, lecturing to the rest of us about white privilege, right?
Yeah.
As you get picked up in your Cadillac. Come on, man.
Yeah.
This is America.
In your helicopter.
Stop telling people they can't get ahead because of the color of their skin. And start telling them they can do anything that they put their mind to, no matter what. Look, there's immigrants that come to this country, whether it's from India or even the Middle East, right, that are discriminated against all day long.
They come with nothing, Glenn.
And they end up owning the block, right, or the business. So they build a huge company. Good for them.
How many of them came here in decades ago? I know it's going to find this hard to believe. Decades ago, you would come here and you couldn't get anything. No welfare, no nothing. There'd be a little assistance to get you moving.
You
were on your own. You were on your own.
Absolutely.
I'm not buying the whole I'm black, so I can't get ahead bullshit. It's a bunch of crap. You know, Obama proved that. You know, Herman Cain. There's example after example of people who said, I don't really care about my color. And I continue to say this. We talked about last week. Martin Luther King, one of the greatest leaders ever. He didn't talk about beating people through smashing their windows. He talked about beating people through education, right? And that is the key. And if their argument was, well, we want to change the school system, or we want more of this, or we want more of that, all right, let's talk about it. Although I do think those systems are not missing funding. They're missing a backbone, which is really what they're missing. But what they're missing is accountability.
Yeah. What the systems are missing is accountability.
That goes
back to the Minneapolis we started with. But again, you have to remember, these are liberal institutions, right? The public sector unions are a liberal legacy, right?
Yep.
That wasn't put in place by conservatives. Public sector unions were voted into place by liberals. Well, and what public sector unions do, like all unions, is they're there to protect the worst employee of the group. Yeah. Well, that's what they're there for.
And not only that, Glenn, every single one of these cities has been run by Democrats for decades.
The police chief was a Democrat.
You've been in charge of all this. So now they're acting like this is Donald Trump's fault and all the right-wing conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
You've had the town. You're the town mayor. You have the town boards. Yeah. You are the town supervisors. You run the school boards. You run.
Everything.
All your policies have gotten us to this point. And now we're just going to put a nail in the coffin and smash the
And that was Trump's fault.
Of all these cities.
And that was the police department, and it's Trump's fault. So we must just nail the police.
Continue to blame.
The sad thing, though, is that now you've got Black Lives Matter is talking about hiring their own armed vigilantes, and big corporate America, Nike, McDonald's, and the rest of them included, are funding it. We're going to get to race wars in the streets, folks.
That's right.
That's what we're going to get to. And it's going to be really, really ugly. And then remember who funded this. Remember who's bailing these brick throwers, these window smashers out of jail. Yeah. It's the left. It's Joe Biden.
Hollywood.
It's Colin Kaepernick.
That's right.
It's Hollywood. That's right.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's right. Joke.
Exactly.
We only got a few minutes left. Let's talk about Cuomo, by the way. You see him? He complained about looters being freed. He couldn't figure out
Priceless.
You say, this is ridiculous. Well, these people, we arrest them, and they come right back out on the streets and do it again.
I can't make this stuff up.
You cannot make this up, right? So, of course, it's all about his bail reform law, which he put in place, right? He is the one who said, let people out of jail. Now they're smashing his city, and he can't figure out why they're out of jail. It's better,
Mike, the prosecutor has dropped most of the charges against those rioters and looters.
Yeah.
So now what New York City has basically said is that we're not going to go after folks that smashed and looted Macy's and destroyed businesses. So, come on back the next time there's a riot, come on back to New York City, because the flat screen TVs and whatever else you can steal from Macy's is free.
Yeah.
That's the message that the bail reform like that.
We have bail reform. Crazy. So you can just, if
what do you think New York City is going to look like? What do you think Minneapolis is going to look like?
I'll tell you one thing, man.
Seriously.
We've been saying this for years, but it's coming to a head. I would not want to be a police officer. You could not pay me the money in the world. You're supposed to now get bricks thrown at you and look the other way. And if somebody approaches you and they might look like they're going to take your gun, you're not allowed to touch him.
You're second guessed every second of the way.
And now you're demonized. It used to be when I was a kid, I wanted to be a police officer or a fireman, every little kid, because they wanted to protect and serve, right? That was a position of power and authority, but in a good way. And now they've just destroyed.
The school districts are now, in a lot of the districts and universities are saying, we don't want the police into we're not going to call the police on the campus, or we're not going to. The Minneapolis, the school district, is severing ties with police. Yeah. So that basically what they're telling these school kids is that police are evil. This is not going to end well. We need to get back to sanity here and really put our
But the funny thing is I thought these liberals were crazy 2 months ago. Now I think they're just beyond insane, right? And when people say, it can't get worse. Yes, it can. It absolutely can. I mean, you wonder how an area like I always thought, like, how does a country like Venezuela go from being so rich and you know, everybody being able to participate and unemployment rates at low levels and all stuff to becoming just a junk pile, right? 30% unemployment rates and, people trying to, hunt down dogs in the street to eat them. And you think, how could that be? Well, I get it now. I get it.
One generation.
That's all it takes. This mental illness of liberalism. It's all it takes is one generation, and they can screw up an entire country. And you're seeing it now, right? And by the way, and we said this before, I don't want to lose track about COVID, right? We are being told right now, this is how messed up our country is and messed up New York State is, right? Because New York State, and I have to remember that, spending the majority of my time in New York State and the minority of my time down in South Florida, the governor down there, he's got a brain in his head. He gets it. They're opening stuff. They did what they needed to do. Stuff's going back to normal, right? The COVID cases have dropped to nothing in New York State.
So they're waiting on a cure, Mike.
What's that?
They're waiting on a cure.
Yeah, they're waiting on a cure. The COVID cases have dropped to nothing, right? We have hundreds of thousands of protesters walking side by side in the street, smashing windows, not a problem. We're being told that they won't get COVID that way. But be damn you if you're open your restaurant at 100% capacity. Be damn you if you want to go to a Bills or Sabres game. Apparently 18,000 people together cheering on their favorite team is going to cause some kind of disaster. But if you want 18,000 people together to smash windows at Macy's, not a problem, right? But
in fact, the CDC came out and said that.
At some point, business owners got to find their balls. At some point, business owners got to say, I'm totally sick and tired of this crap. I'm gone. Just to give you a share a story with you in Rochester. Now we can have outdoor dining in the state of New York, right? Or in Western New York, right? So I'm going drag racing out in Rochester, about an hour and a half south of south of Buffalo on Saturday. I leave about 8 o'clock in the morning, but on my way back, I'm driving back. It's about 6 o'clock at night. And I notice all these restaurants and they all have people waiting outside together, sitting outside together. They have roped off areas. They've brought all their tables out because now you can do outdoor dining. And I'm thinking to myself, how mentally ill is this? How mentally ill is this that we are at a point where these restaurant owners have to do this bullshit instead of just having the same people inside? Because I got to be honest with you, if I'm going to go, when I go out to dinner with my family, if I run into somebody that I know, I'm going to say hi to them, right? But if I don't, it's not like I go from table to table saying, hey, is it possible I can hug you? Or, you know, can we swap spit together or something, right? That's just not what happens. I'm not going to do that whether I'm outside or inside, right? It's got to be the most asinine thing I've ever. But by the way, you people that keep showing up with masks, you're part of the problem. Stop. Now, look, if you think you're going to be healthier for it, you can wear a mask till the day you die. But if you're wearing a mask, the man tells you to wear a mask. Stop it. I was in Lowe's the other morning. It was 300 people in Lowe's. My dad and I were the only ones without a mask. And I think to myself, really? This is where we are? Not one of you've got a set of balls to say, I'm not doing this anymore. It's the cases are at zero. Stop.
Yeah. The CDC, I've never seen an organization sector like the medical sector just absolutely flush their credibility as fast as the medical community did. Because the CDC just came out this past week and basically said, well, we now believe that being in close proximity for riots is really not a problem because, it's okay now. Oh, it's like, seriously, such a joke.
But yet the Bills, the Sabres, all that stuff is shut down, right? The baseball's shut down. Restaurants are shut down. Yep. They're still telling you that if you're going to open up your business, my gym is shut down. I can't improve my immune system, right? But at some point, by the way, you need to just open, folks. Somebody's got a set of stones and say, enough is enough. The police officer dealing with scumbags breaking in windows, right? They should not be at your gym. And if they are, we need to step up and stop. Well,
then they don't need the funding.
That's right.
I mean, to be honest with you, then you can cut their funding. If that's what they've got time to do. If they've got to hand out cell phone tickets and show up at your business, then maybe, but anyway, one last thing I want to mention is on the economic side, Mike, we had a huge, huge turnaround in employment numbers last week with actual jobs added in May. Yeah. And I just want to say hats off to the Republican governors across this country that had the brains and the backbone to actually say, no, we're going to open up the first week of May. We actually added back 2.5 million jobs in May after absolutely getting crushed on jobs for March and April. And I said this a couple weeks ago, that what I was seeing down in South Florida was demand still being there. My wife and I went out to dinner when we were able to, and there was a 30 to 45 minute wait at the restaurant. And I remember all the pundits talking about, well, they could reopen, but nobody's coming back right away. Yeah. It's a new norm. I still hear them talking about the new norm. And I remember saying, well, what I'm seeing in my perspective is I'm seeing that demand. And so if demand is still there, that's good news because supply is easy to gin back up. And I think that's true. And then here we are now, right? We had a huge jobs number. The market rallied big time last week on Friday with up, 800, 900 points. And and that's great news for the economy. And Trump said it best, going into it healthy. Going into a thing healthy, going into a recession or going into a bad market healthy. Makes it a lot easier to recover. He was absolutely right about
it. A lot of people are saying, why is the market going up? And I'll tell you, it's because earnings are still there. There's still that demand there. And a lot of these companies are doing it with a lot less labor. My concern is 6 to 12 months from now, when we really actually swallow the pill that we're not going back to 2% or 3% unemployment rates, right? We're probably going to settle out at 6-7% unemployment rates. And that will be the new norm because a lot of companies have gotten rid of their waste. You know, a lot of companies have realized that they could embrace technology and do things more efficiently through this whole thing. And unemployment rates are going to be higher. But guess what that does? That means corporate earnings are better, right? Corporate earnings are better. Or corporations make more money, and at the end of the day, their prices
things will grow faster
because of that. That's right.
Things will grow faster, and then the economy will pick back up those jobs. But I think the key thing really will be what the government responses to that. I mean, if we let extend unemployment expire at the end of July like we should, I don't think you have chronic long-term unemployment. If, however, we extend unemployment like they did during the Great Recession for 2 years,
yeah,
and you pay people not to work, well, then you'll get less people working, right?
That's just human nature. It is what it is. We'll see where it all falls out. Hopefully, but as you pointed out, the conservative governors out there who have done a great job, unfortunately, you could say bye bye to New York. New York is done. We did. I will say for 20 something years, we've been doing radio and TV together, and we've always had that glimmer of hope. Like maybe we could change this. Maybe we could change that. It's screwed. You've got totally incompetent leadership. The biggest city, New York City, in the state is run by a total moron. And the governor is totally corrupt and incompetent, and there are way too many sheep. Just spending time and seeing the difference between South Florida and here, you said it best, dude. You walk into a Lowe's in South Florida, yes, there's some people wearing masks because they're concerned about their own, their own health care. They're concerned about, maybe they have some issues, and they're wearing that mask to sort of protect themselves. But there's not everybody playing sheep. And when you walk around in Western New York and throughout New York State, you know that it's over, man. It's over. There's just not enough. All those people have moved. They've moved to states. They've had enough. And guess what? The rest of them who are still here fighting, they're going to be gone within the next 8 to 10 years. My only concern is, who the hell do you sell your house to in 10 years? That's really the concern moving, right?
Well, the only good news is, but the positive for Buffalo, and you mentioned this earlier, Mike, we had a conversation this morning, and you're probably right about this, and that the mass exit out of New York City may be a benefit for New York, for Buffalo, New York.
Yeah,
it may actually be a positive for Buffalo, for people that just need to stay in New York State because they love New York, but they gotta get away from New York City.
Yeah, how many people have we lost in Buffalo to New York City, right? So we'll see. If New York wins, it'll be the typical socialism deal, which is a few of the cities are going to benefit, but the overall state will get more hurt, right?
Overall pie shrinks.
The overall pie shrinks.
As opposed to grows.
Don't forget about our economic and markets update, June 17th. We're going to have our full investment committee, and our investment committee is, man, I'm not bragging about this. I'm just telling you the truth. It is powerful. Paul Meeks, a regular contributor on CNBC, Danny Neiman, who's been a guest on Fox Business, been quoted in the Wall Street Journal. John Thur, chartered financial analyst. We've got almost 180 years of experience with this investment committee and team, bringing Wall Street to Main Street. June 17th, economic update, market committee update. But make sure you join us, man. You're going to get a lot of information on, what's happened over the last 3 to 6 months. And then, hey, let's talk a little bit about where we see things going over the next 3 to 6 months. But chartered financial analyst, regular guest on CNBC Squawk Box, and you can join. It doesn't cost you anything to make sure you go to our website and register, okay? June 17th, we'll see you there. On behalf of Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, don't forget about our Saturday radio shows. Go to our website, by the way, thefinancialguys.com, for all of our content. Make sure you hit the like button if you're watching us on YouTube. We need more conservative talk there. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. But go to our website, again, for everything, thefinancialguys.com, all right? We'll see you next week. Take care.